Hello and welcome to the Wabi Sabi series podcast, unlikely conversations on uncomfortable topics. I'm your host, Michelle Cox, a corporate exec turned author who has recently written a series of books about topics we don't often talk about. Things like death, grief, not having kids, and the unexplained power doctors often wield over us. Apparently, some of my books have made some people feel a little uncomfortable, but I felt that I wanted to have far more conversations around weird, wonderful, and sometimes taboo topics. So I reached out to some interesting people and asked them just one question. If there is one topic that you'd love society to talk more about, what would it be and why? And what they've shared with me has been amazing. So let's dive in and see where the conversation takes us.
I'm letting go of correctness and embracing imperfectionist and flow.
Julie Trell is the head of Telstra's startup accelerator, Muru D. She comes to the role with a vast and varied background, spanning both startup and corporate environments. In her previous role as the founder of Playful Purpose, she helped companies integrate meaningful philanthropy programs into their businesses. She was an advisor to several startups from San Francisco to London. Julie was instrumental in launching CEO Radical Generosity in the USA in 2016, a global initiative to transform how we support, finance, and celebrate women entrepreneurs, and launched CEO in Australia in 2018. Prior to that, Julie has 2 decades of experience in corporate philanthropy, spending much of that time as a founding member and vice president of all things fun, meaningful, and rewarding at Salesforce Foundation. What a fabulous title. When not working, you can find her at the beach, usually in flip-flops, probably attempting a yoga pose with a camera in her hand or hugging a random wild Australian animal. Julie Trell, it is awesome to have you here today. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Michelle.
So let's kick in. If there is one thing that you wish people would talk more about, what would it be?
If there's one thing that I wish people would talk or do more, is be more playful. You know, I'm sitting in the corporate world, I'm working in the corporate world. Play sometimes is not so serious. People don't take it seriously, which, if I can reframe the word, being curious, taking risks, and applying that when you play, think about when you were a kid, and how to apply that in your everyday world.
It has a bad rap, right? I mean, because people think as a kid, like, that's okay to be playful and muck around and stuff, and that's how we learn. But as we get older, like, it's not as accepted. You know, you've got to be serious and be at work and embrace that. And I've always loved your approach to this. So how do we do more of that?
We tap into that, the inner child. You know, it's got a bad rap, not as a kid. It's important to play. We talk about playing. And if we can bring that mindset, think about the things we can accomplish when we play, when we put a different language on project planning and in relationship building. If you put it into another format, playing, you can be a lot more productive. Think about when you're on a playground and you're going to build that sandcastle and it just happens. You're in free flow. Like, that's another great word, is play, is flow and curiosity and learning.
I mean, I love it. It's, for me, you know, that's kind of the creative side. I've always had such a corporate part to my career, I guess. And then I bring in what I call creativity. And so there are things that I kind of are learning in life, whether that's my pottery or, you know, challenging things along the way. But how do you encourage people to actually embrace more play? Because you do a lot of that sort of stuff in the corporate world as well. How do you help people with that?
Yeah, so I moved down here 3 years ago, sort of reinventing myself. From Australia, in a big corporate company with a pretty senior role. And I decided to take the risks. Nobody knew me very well. Why not try this? And I was at an offsite, a Telstra executive leadership, for a week. And it was fun. Great, great, great facilitators. I have a very high bar for good facilitators. But some of the activities were, we had to read a case study and report back. And I just asked the group, and I said, why don't we do something fun with this? Instead of just reporting back what we've read, let's turn into a real live PowerPoint. And so we had someone being the clicker, the PowerPoint, and the rest of us, the 5 of us, pretended to be a PowerPoint. And we changed and we laughed and people loved it. So we tried it once and it was fun. And then in every small group I was in after that, I just kept trying, like, let's try it this way, let's with a game. And people really got into it. And then it started to get viral, to use a word now, in that group when we were doing, we had to do videos at the end. And at the end, I had like the general counsel doing the conga line. And it was funny because then people started coming up to me and says, oh, that was so your idea. And I said, no, it wasn't. So it got to be viral and people had fun and they laughed and the relationships were built and the strengthening were. And so I took that risk. So a lot of times, again, play is a different taboo word in corporate. And I just took that risk to try it out and people really got into it.
Yeah. And I mean, and that's sort of anecdotal, I guess, and you see that and people relax and there's the element around, I guess, not failure, but that freedom to explore and try new things and in a playful manner. And I guess the other sort of side that I always embrace is curiosity. So I'm a really curious soul. And so I try and approach something new and think, okay, let's take a curious approach to this, which again is kind of another sort of element to play, I guess. There must be some sort of research with that that actually really supports, you know, what you're saying there and how that can make us better in terms of the business world as well as our personal lives as well.
Yeah, there are heaps of research. And the first one that comes to mind is the growth mindset, because play and being open is all about having the growth mindset rather than the closed mindset, by Carol Dweck. And there's tons of research, not only that. And I've been really involved in doing a lot of work with what I like to call the other AI, which is applied improv. And that has to do with games and play and being open. And it falls beautifully in with Wabi Sabi, embracing imperfection and taking all that and using them as gifts. And all of that, to me, falls under the bubble of play.
Yeah, I love it. So for anyone who doesn't know about improv, because I kind of grew up with a number of actors in my high school that were amazing at it, but it used to scare the shit out of me. I wasn't particularly good at it. And I see the way you do it all the time. I kind of like freak out, don't ask me to do it. So describe for people that don't know, what is improv and how do you kind of bring it into your life all the time?
Yeah, so the word improv, and I need help if any suggestions on how to reframe what improv is. Basically, it's not being about on stage and doing a stand-up comedy and having to be funny. We improv every day of our lives. This conversation right now is improv. We haven't scripted it. We don't know what's going to come next. So improv is being able to think on your feet, being prepared for the unexpected. And there's several principles of improv. The main really important one, well, they're all important, but is listening. So listening to what's given to you as a gift, listening to how other people are not only speaking, but their body language, that kind of listening, and how to answer those and really hear what they're saying rather than coming up with what you're going to say next. Because when you're on stage doing these improv scenes, you have to be listening because you might be prepared to jump on stage and be on the beach drinking a martini, whereas your partner comes up first and says, isn't it cold up here on the top of the mountain? Can you pass me, the cold coffee? You have to shift and go there. And another principle is making your partner look good. You want to make sure that scene goes right. You're up there with your partner on stage. And so imagine if we do that in business and in the conference room and talking about that. So for me, I have not been a performer, but using these games and playing these games and embracing these games. And when you mess up, when you make a mistake, you embrace that, or someone throws you a line that you flubbed, you use that as a gift and celebrate it. And so that's the kind of play and the growth mindset and the improv is so powerful.
I could just think of, a number of examples where you'd be able to use that in kind of group teamwork to get everyone a little bit more comfortable with supporting each other. And, again, back to that failure aspect to say, okay, we stuffed it up. It's okay. It doesn't matter. And, building some real safe kind of environments together and teams that work together all the time. It's a lovely way to do that, I imagine.
Yeah, you said the key word. I was just going to say the safe. So creating a safe space to be silly, to make a mistake, to not be judged. And when something does come out sideways or crooked or wrong, or you might be able to see something totally different. I also love to bring in young minds, kids, into the room because they're going to see something very different than as adults, as corporate people, will think of things. And that's the other reason of diversity in the room, not just diversity of color, age, and gender, but also thinking. How we think differently, and it's so powerful and riffing off one another in a safe space.
If you have a topic burning inside you that you'd love to talk more about and have a conversation with me, I'd love to hear from you. So drop me a line at hello@wabisabiseries.com. head back to the chat. So if someone wants to get more involved in this and learn how to, do improv, how would you recommend they do that? I mean, at the moment, it's probably a little bit difficult to go to particular improv studios or anything, so there might be stuff online, but what's the best way?
So I actually took some workshops with Improv Theatre Sydney. I would bring them in to work with my founders, and they're phenomenal. I did a workshop online with them. Bay Area Theatre Sports is one of my favorites. It's actually in San Francisco. They are putting on amazing shows on the weekend, and you can see how they play off one another. And they also offer workshops. But I believe a lot of these improv locations are playing the same games online, and they're figuring out how to use, again, to improvise how to use this technology when you're not in real life to be successful.
Yeah, and there's got to be an element to that about, that brain capacity, kind of using, flexing your brain and that using that particular muscle to improvise and to look at things differently and how you can bring that into everyday life and into your work. And like, it's fabulous. It just makes so much sense to me.
So the workshops that I've taken is therapy. It's absolutely therapy, or it's
right.
You call it mindfulness, yeah. Moving mindfulness and playfulness. Because if you take these workshops, you have a room full of people that are not trying to be the best. The rule is support one another. And then how can you apply that in business, in the room, and to make your colleagues look good, and giving space into taking those risks in the room where, I can't say that, it's going to sound stupid, to stop that imposter voice from speaking up.
Yeah, imposter syndrome. Get over it. Who cares? Have a crack.
Yeah. So speaking of that, so I actually play around with this. I have that voice. A lot of us do, which is like, who do you think you are? They're going to figure out, you're a phony. Well, who are you that's doing this? And my friends know that I have this voice. And I recently, this wonderful young Indigenous woman, Dixie Crawford, talked about that she has this voice, this imposter voice, and she's named it. And then as soon as she said that, giving this voice, this thing, a name, a persona, it helps me manage it a lot better. So my imposter voice is named Beatrice, and my friends know that I have her. So there's one day where I had to go do an interview on TV, and I was nervous, and who am I to be talking about this? And I texted my friend Annie, and I said, Annie, you got to take Beatrice. I cannot afford to bring her with me. And she played this game with me. She says, I got her. We're going to go out and drink gin. We're going to go to the beach. I got it. And so just playing that game made me be like, okay. And so Beatrice did not show up. And I felt awesome. And then someone said to me, it was really interesting. Oh, so you have this Beatrice. She's that negative voice. She's one of the board of directors. If you have a board of directors in your head and giving them all personas, you have this other voice. She's not going away. Where's your cheerleader? You can't just be listening to Beatrice all the time. So I have Rara cheerleader on the other side of things. And again, playing with that, that's play, that's making things up. It's my therapy.
Yeah, we all have that voice, whether it's the imposter element, or it's just, beat yourself up. And another interview I've done recently is around that, negative self-talk, which is absolutely in that space. So the fact that you've named it up and you can call her out and, tell her to bugger off for a while is just a fantastic way to deal with it. So I want to kind of really dig into the element of why do you think that there is the negative component around play, and why people feel so, that that's not cool to bring it into the workforce, and we have to, to do serious business, we have to be serious. So what's your take on that?
So I think when we grow up and to have a different persona and be silly or be out there, there's so much structure, unnecessary structure or constriction in the corporate world. You have to look like this. You have to be like this. Here's the path. Here's the routine. And on one hand, it makes life easy. Like, I know where I need to go. But on the other hand, you're in this direct path that you don't know how to jump out of the box. So when we've had that teacher or the professor that told us we weren't good at something, and we then stick in that fixed mindset and we can't get out of it, it's self-judging and fear of being judged by others, I think. And play is just, that doesn't belong in business. It's business. We're at a time, we're at a place, we're at a world, and now this world is, we're all behaving so differently now. And I love, you talk about people who are on meetings on Zoom calls, and people are being so much more accepting of kids running around and dogs barking, husbands walking in. There's a patience of accepting that. And there's not this predetermined scripture that we have to show up with. And until we can break out of that and laugh at ourselves and laugh with ourselves, which I think is starting to happen.
It's got to be a better world, right? I mean, that's the whole thing about starting, you know, me starting Wabi Sabi was that to embrace that imperfection and to be more comfortable with it. And I think that play is absolutely a part of that. They really feed into each other. Fascinating. So you've given a couple of key things about obviously the Beatrice and bringing more play. In terms of everyday stuff for you, it's a big sort of picture improv. How do you also bring that into other elements that you do in life and to make, you know, bring more joy into your life, I guess?
Yeah. So when you can play and move things forward and have that flow, it's movement, it's that inertia. And one of the other principles is saying yes and. So you're adding on to whatever gift is given you, whatever line is given to you, whatever idea is put out there. Have you ever been in a meeting where someone's like, yes, but you're still being blocked? So I have practiced that in my emails. I try not to use the word but, however, you know, those kind of things. And really, that has been therapeutic as well. So, you know, having those kind of conversations, thinking about and working with people who get it also. You know, someone says something to me that's totally wrong, and I'll play with that word, and I'll play with it rather than saying, no, I have to explain it to you again. I'm letting go of correctness and embracing imperfectionist and flow.
So give me an example. We could even try something now. Do the yes and, so that people understand what that's about.
So I'm going to give you a topic, and you have to give me three things that fall under that topic. Okay? Mm-hmm. Cheese.
Soft. Gooey. And blue vein.
Perfect. Now you give me a topic.
Rain.
Rain, wet puddles and river. Let's see, crazy animals.
Playful, dangerous, big teeth.
I love it.
So what is this doing though? So what are we trying to do here in terms of that, the cognitive stuff with this little game?
You're just saying whatever comes out, and it's safe and there's no wrong answers. So it's interesting. I love how you gave me three types of cheese. You gave me adjectives of cheese when, in fact, a lot of times I play this, someone will say blue cheese, Swiss, and cheddar. And there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. And I was like, you gave me a new gift and you shifted that. And when you said rain, you know, you gave me a new way of looking at things. I wasn't going to stop you and say, no, that's wrong. Anything you say in those answers is correct.
Yeah, okay. And then the yes and, because I've done this before. So Julie, do you want to come on a holiday with me tomorrow?
Yes, and we should go to Mexico.
That would be amazing. Yes, and we should drink lots of cocktails.
Yes, and we'll make sure that the sun is shining.
And the whole time we have to wear, yes, and we, the whole time we have to wear sombreros.
Yes, and with the sombreros are matching flip-flops, of course.
Of course, yes, we have to wear flip-flops only if they have the Australian flag on them.
Yes, of course. If I did a yes, but that story wouldn't have gone anywhere. You know, hey, Julie, let's go on a vacation. Yeah, but are we really allowed to leave the country?
Have we got the money to do it? Yeah, it's a good way to think about it. So how do you bring that into emails? So you said before an example, instead of saying to someone, yeah, this is a great idea to do something, but, you know, we are restricted by budget or whatever. Would that be a good example?
Well, sometimes you have to use the but and the however. But if there's a way to craft around it and add on to whatever that idea is rather than cutting it off with the constraints, there's ways to try and just think about it differently rather than saying no right off. And once you start to use that muscle of, let me think of it differently before I'm cutting off my teammate, my manager, or whatever, how can we reframe this? Again, there will be times that there are certain definitely constraints. You can't say yes to everything. And thinking about how to reframe it.
But those, I mean, that two little things already, like, you know, I was like, oh, freaked out. But then you feel more energized. It's such an easy thing. You can do it in 5 minutes, get everyone pumped up, and then it just gets your brain working differently, right? It just, yeah, it was good.
My work here is
done. Great little tool. Love it. Love it. All right. Well, I'm going to finish on that and we can keep playing afterwards. But Julie, it's been so lovely to talk to you today. Thank you so much for sharing your insights on play and encouraging us all to embrace it more. It's wonderful.
And thank you for embracing imperfections, because that's what play is all about.
I will continue to do that. So thanks, Jules. Talk soon. If you'd like to learn more about today's guest, you'll find all the show notes and interesting links on our website, wabisabiseries.com. If you'd like to hear more unexpected conversations, please subscribe to the series, follow us on our socials, or grab one of my books. And if you're in a generous mood, I'd love you to share the episode, or maybe even rate, review, and comment on the series. It really does make a difference. Until next time, be sure to claim your own piece of wabi-sabi and walk proud in your perfect imperfection.